there's some joy and hardness. so
when you went to your dark place just now and said the darkness, it was still the most joyful darkness I have ever seen.
That's what I said. Una's the most positive, cynical, positive person. Yeah. Cynical, positive person I've ever met. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay. So we're really excited to have with us artist, teacher, performer, Una Asada, also known as Exotic Other.
Yes, welcome to the Hey You Know It studio.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Una, I know Una from doing burlesque shows. Now, I was not doing burlesque. Mm-hmm. Una is the hot one who does the burlesque. I do a little bit of the comedy. And I've known her work for years, and I love what she does. So we decided to have her in the studio.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Her bio is ridiculously long. Actually, I just looked at it.
And I was highlights. Oh my God, I was reading it. And
we're not qualified to even do this interview.
I'm telling you.
It's shocking.
My God. You're so funny.
And the videos on your site, too. Oh my God. Amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're good. It's a really well done site.
Oh my God, I really appreciate that.
It's good. Did you do it yourself?
Me and a friend.
Oh, cool.
Websites, like, I don't know if you all, like, it was on my to-do list for, like, 6 to 8 years, like every day. Yeah. Make your website. And I'd be like, oh, I hate myself. I didn't make
it. It's really a hard thing for a performer. We don't have a website.
Yeah.
We just have the place where we post the podcast because who wants to work on it?
Nobody. I feel like people who, no offense to like really organized people, but people who spend the time to like make it, I'm like, are you actually making other art too or just your website?
This is the problem.
And they're really good at websites. Mm-hmm. Like, it's amazing. And I'm like, oh, please make mine. But, I feel like there's, like, so many other things to do.
Yeah,
like,
there's the art.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
Okay.
As an exotic other.
Yes. I have, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't know why that mic is, like, silly. Like, it's bringing me in. And
are you kidding me? I've seen you on stage with, like, 3 mics in your hands. And heels and, like, a Shamu costume.
That's true. I do have a piece where I'm an exotic orca.
An exotic orca? You're dressed as an exotic orca.
Yes, as a Shamu.
Like, yeah, and I'm, like, full orca drag. me and my dad designed this costume.
Whoa, your dad is all in?
My parents, me and my sister, and my sister's name is Sister Selva.
Who is awesome.
And she's amazing. And we have a third company member, Miss Aurora Bubrialis. The three of us have a burlesque.
Aurora Bubrialis?
Miss
Aurora Bubrialis.
The three of us have a burlesque company called BRASS, which stands for Brown Radical Ass Burlesque.
Which I love. I love that you got ass in there. Yeah. Radical Ass Burlesque.
It's really funny, like, writing an invoice to, like, someone. More fancy and being like Brown Radical Ass Burlesque. Like,
I think it's BR capital A capital S capital S. So okay. The ass is, you know,
really sticks out.
It's paramount.
But so the three of us have this burlesque company together, and our parent, me and sister, we are sisters on stage and in real life. Mm-hmm. Our parents are super supportive. They're like at all of our shows. They're like helping us. Like, they give us feedback on pieces. Me and my sister have been performers since we were children. Mm-hmm.
Were you on TV a little bit?
We were on Sesame Street as kids, and we like. We're like extras. We're like the kids in the background in like all the same color outfits.
A monochromatic outfit.
They said, don't look at the camera. Don't look at the camera.
Don't wear logos. Don't have patterns. So
look down. Yeah. You're not principals.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No lies.
Yeah.
No lies.
But we did that for so many years. My sister was doing it like while she was still in high school, I feel like.
Yeah.
At that point,
I can see your sister doing that because you guys cannot see Una, but Una is a very voluptuous young lady.
Yeah.
Her sister is somewhat less voluptuous, and I'm sure when she was younger, she could pass for a lot younger than she was.
Yeah, she's like a little stick mouse. But anyway, so, yes.
Stick mouse.
know. She's like, got a really high voice.
Yeah.
It's so
She's very cute.
She's adorable.
And then she does burlesque. So you're like, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh my God, she's so sexy.
Yeah. What it got really dirty all of a sudden. She's very cute, though.
Anyway, I have a burlesque piece where I play, I have a, I'm a orca, and it's about body image.
Oh, the orca is upset because is it some other kind of whale that's slim?
Yeah, or? yeah. And like Vogue is fashioning like skinny whales that month or in general. And yeah, it's to Michael Jackson's Free Willy song. So
people, this is burlesque.
How do you come up with these ideas? Because I think the other one I saw with the polar bear.
Oh yeah,
where you can. Tell us about the polar bear.
It does address global warming.
Yeah. The polar bear is, like, too hot, so he has to start stripping his own fur to get cooler.
What does he strip down to?
Pasties and underwear.
Of course. as a polar bear do during
just
global warming.
Tiny little polar bear fur patches. But then, because that is not an outfit to survive in the Arctic, polar bear does not.
Yeah.
Does not
it's
make
a sad
it.
Ending. Oh. It's a sexy and sad burlesque piece.
Everyone at the end of it is like,
but that's what I love about your work, is that people are like, titties, and like, oh no.
I don't know if I should be yelling or crying.
He didn't make it. Like, he really tried. He stripped down to a merkin, and nothing happened. He still met his end.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so, these are the themes. So what is the process like? Do you discuss this, like, with your sister, and then you flesh out these...
Yeah.
No pun intended.
You flesh out these pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have to take off my clothes and be like, did that piece work? Yeah, no, me and my sister and Mr. Orbe, we like workshop our pieces a lot with each other, which is like one of the fun parts of having a company. It's like, not, you don't just have to work by yourself. You're like, is this making any sense? Is this ending work? And sometimes I'll be like, no, not at all. Or like, what about this? And you're like, yeah, that is what I was trying to get to. I love the creative process of that part where you're like, I have this idea. I have no idea how it's going to become a thing. And then like getting to discover that.
That's really awesome. Fun. So after you and your sister were working as children, as background performers.
For Sesame Street. And also, was it Nickelodeon?
Oh, yeah. We used to do stuff for Nickelodeon.
So then what happened? How did you transition?
We also like danced in like this modern dance company called the Jose Limon Dance Company.
Okay. I've heard of them. Wow. They're, as like, children you guys were with?
Yeah, they have like this one piece where there's a child part, which is great because we were children. So we like toured. I did the part, toured with them for a while, and then she did the part, toured with them.
Oh, how perfect.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
All in the family.
Yeah. Like, Luna's not here. We're Sister Salva.
Yeah, bring her in.
Bring her in.
Yeah. They're like, it's a sad day when you're like, yeah, we can't have you in the part anymore because you're like too big to lift.
Like, what? Oh, that's right. They have to throw you around.
I remember being like, what? I'm 8 years old. What do you mean I'm too big to lift?
Right, next.
Yeah, they're like, do you have a sister? And I'm like, I do.
I'm a younger sister.
But no, yeah. No, it was like, it's an amazing like process to kind of grow up on stage and in like real life. And like, no one knows that we're like on stage. We're just growing up on stage. No one's like following our career being like, oh wow.
Like the Olsen twins. Yeah, finally. Yeah. Sister Selma and Una break away from Jose Limon to do their own work.
No one knows about us at all except us. We both like did dance and theater as kids growing up in New York City. We grew up in the East Village, so like the theater was on the streets or everywhere. And
back in the day,
yeah, in the 90s, it was all still there.
That's right. Yeah, that was before everything was
Giuliani.
Yeah.
Cabaret laws.
Totally.
Right.
So we're talking to a real live New Yorker, people. Not very many New Yorkers.
Yeah, before internet, before screens were everywhere.
Yeah.
In every venue.
You had to go, you used to go to the Lower East Side, literally, and just be like, what's going on? Mm. And you would find stuff on the street. We once went through an art installation on the street, or you just end up getting swept into a theater. Mm-hmm. There's like a $5 show going on. Let's check this out.
Right.
You know?
Totally, yeah. Yeah. It was like, things were just like, I feel like it's like an incubator of like things that were just constantly happening and So we were growing up in that. We both went to LaGuardia High School, which is the fame school.
Now, is it
that
like
is
fame?
The real fame school. Yeah. Give us the insider view of, is it really like fame?
Did they break into song?
Like, people would ask you that, I'd be like, actually, we do. That does happen. Not everyone's, like, in the same number, but, like, multiple.
Yeah, there are the people that, like, get to the back, look down.
Exactly. Monochrome. Yes. So there was, like, a lot of things, like, there. But there's lots of runways happening at the same time. Like, oh, it was God. Such a... Everyone, like, you have a school of 2,700 stars, like...
Oh, my God.
Lead.
Exactly.
Actors. No small parts.
No small actors.
Wow.
Yeah.
I went to school with Nicki Minaj.
Ooh, yeah. That must have been interesting. I still am not 100% sure who she is. I know that she had something with her butt and she wore a pink wig. That's all I know. Yeah. I'm too old.
Wait.
When I say that to, like, I teach also. And so when I do, like, to students, like, when I'm trying to, like, they're, like, not paying attention to me. They're like, who's this weird lady? And I'm like, I went to school with Nicki Minaj.
Does everyone sit up and pay attention?
Yeah. Like, I have their attention for the whole rest of class.
Wow.
And then what do you do after that?
Well, yeah, there's not really that. They're like, can you call her? I'm like, no. Would you see her? I'm like, no. So really,
but I did go to school with her.
I went to school with her, guys, so you have to pay attention
to
her.
Yeah, for 45 minutes.
Exactly. It really goes nowhere. It goes
That's
nowhere.
Cool. That's funny.
I like it. So you guys did, you went to the fame school, you broke into song, and then you went off to Oberlin. Is that right?
My sister went to Oberlin, I went to Wesleyan.
Okay, same thing.
Same, yeah.
Okay.
Just in a different state.
And did you do performing arts at Wesleyan?
I did. I thought that I was going to be, like, the star. I was like, you know, I almost went to a conservatory for theater. Like, I was like, do I, like, go professional or do I, like, go to liberal arts route? And I was like, yeah, really into, like, politics and organizing. So I was like, yeah, I want a full college experience. And I was like, but I'll be the star.
Of course, because Wesleyan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, whatever.
And then
I get there, and they're like, no, next.
Oh,
we
God,
have
it's so
background.
Background. Yes.
When you get to college and you try to get into that theater program and get into the theater crowd.
See, you guys are
they
performers.
Are.
I was the other person. I was the mean person doing casting and directing and writing. That's right.
I would follow you down the hallway and go, hi.
Can I get a line?
Yeah. It'd be like, look, this is the reason why I would be good at this.
Background.
Wow, you make a list.
And I fell in step with two people in casting for the big production.
Kitty Casimir.
And I'm just like, look, you know, I will do this. I do this. I do that.
Did it work?
It worked. I got the part.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
But you have to be work so hard to get in college.
It's yeah.
Like, my God.
I was shocked, too.
I
saw people who I thought were incredible entertainers, great performers, and Sarah Lawrence come in like that, all like, yeah, and everyone's like, next. I used to sit behind the table when you have auditions and be like, ooh, just like in real life, like, look at this one. All right, let's see what you got. Shakespeare, huh? How original. Doing Ophelia? Great. Haven't seen it.
Wait, didn't, like, Key or Peele go to Sarah Lawrence?
Probably Key and Peele. I know one of them went.
One of them went, I think.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, like, a lot of very few men went there, but the men who did come out of there are doing significantly better.
How does that happen?
I wonder how that happens.
Magic.
So, Wesleyan, magic. You got there and you showed them what you got.
And then they're like, no, like, I couldn't, I would, like, audition for all these shows, didn't realize, like, you had to really work
it. Network it.
Yeah, network. Like, I was just like, I'll audition and I'll show them who I am.
They're like, Una, what?
They're like, and I was like, so distraught. I was like, did I forget how to act? Like, what's going on? I've been, like, on stage my whole life.
Meanwhile, it's Wesleyan people, so let's keep it. Like, it's not exactly.
No, I was like, Broadway, Wesleyan. And I, like, so then I start going to shows and I was like, oh my God, like, the scene, there were some, like, people, like, some stars in it all, like, Lin-Manuel Miranda went there and, like, was, like, putting stuff on, so his stuff was, like, amazing, and then there was other stuff where I was like, huh? Like, what?
Did you
I didn't get into that!
Yeah.
Yeah, right, you see some people doing their stuff, and you're
like new works?
And then what is this nonsense? What, you know, I can't believe this person, and then afterwards they are, like, blow up.
Oh my God, yeah, you're like, wait, what? And like, at the time, I remember, like, it took me a while to realize this, like a few years of, like, auditioning and not getting anything, that it, like, had a lot to do with race also, like, I wasn't white, they couldn't see me. One person was like, I just can't see you in a lead part.
Really?
And I was like, at Wesleyan. Yeah. And
so just for those of you who may not, Una is Jewish and Japanese, mm-hmm. right?
So I look.
But to me, you just look like Una. I don't know. Cause that's, you know what I mean? It's like, I think you could play any part.
It's true.
But it's also 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the frame of reference that we're in. So I guess, yeah, in college, there were definitely some, you might have seen this too, there are definitely a lot of actors of color who were like, why am I getting cast as a maid in this?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, absurd. Like, what are you talking about?
It's Shakespeare. Like, really? I can't get like a part.
It's true. It's in true. College, it was all, too. It was all white people in theater.
Yeah.
And then.
Of a certain look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, wait a minute, there's a diverse student body here. Mm-hmm. Let's put on the Wiz.
Oh, no,
and
yeah.
And they did. And then it was me doing costume design.
Okay.
And that's how it worked.
You know? Interesting. That's interesting.
We did, like, Once on This Island was, like, that moment where you're like...
No raisin in the sun, anybody?
I was like, oh my God, there's so many. So
anyway. It's college. Anyone can play any part. Yeah, totally. Most of it's going to be awful.
Exactly.
Now is your chance to do your best Iago. You know, or whatever it is you want to do.
Just try it.
I even did a piece of Shakespeare. I'm terrible. Who cares?
Yeah, and people took themselves very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think
was Wesleyan.
Yeah, you got like sucked into that world where you're like, I'm so serious, and I can't even get a part here. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
But it was kind of was it hard at the time? Because I was like, meow, 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 meow. But then I was like, oh, my God. Like, I felt like I learned a really important lesson that, like, acting teachers in high school were trying to teach me that I didn't really learn until college, which was that, like, no, like the industry, and it's changing. It's 2017. Hopefully it's changing. But, like, people aren't going to create parts for people who look like me and bodies.
No, you're
going to
make your own part.
Yeah, and like, if I don't make them, no one will. Like, I have to write my own parts.
Isn't this crazy? Because it's like, oh, you think that there's going to be all these roles out for you, and they're going to look at talent, and they're going to look at...
Who told you guys that stuff? I never, ever thought this even for a moment when I was doing it. I looked around, and I was like, if you are not a certain type of white person... You can forget it. Because I wasn't seeing any of you guys. I was casting you guys. You should have seen my productions. Yeah. People were like, what's going on? You know? Like, if you were, like, a skinny white chick, I'm like, you're not getting in this production of Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. It's not going to happen. But it was, you know, people were picking plays that conformed to a certain standard. And they were picking actors. And this is why they were boring.
Yeah.
Like, why are you taking a risk in college?
Yeah.
You know?
Totally, yeah.
So you started creating your own work at college?
Yes. That was my senior thesis was to write, I wrote my first play.
And it was a one-woman play?
It was a one-woman
play. Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I was like, you know what? You're not going to be a part. I'm going to give myself 10 characters.
That's right. Yeah. I'm going to sing and dance and do accents, tell my story.
Exactly. One whole hour you have to watch me. So I did that, like, which was like, I didn't start reading or writing till I was 10, so it was very late in the game. People are already writing, like, dissertations at that point. And I was like, hey, cat. So writing was, like, nothing I ever wanted to do. So then, like, it was kind of interesting to just write a play to be like, I'm doing the thing I hate the most. But because I say, like, it's necessary in order to get...
People, Una is a writer. Just, like, put that out there. I'm shocked to hear you say this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Because I know you from your writing. Okay, go ahead.
My first play was I interviewed all these women of color in my life who had helped, like, influence my understanding of the world and myself. And so I tell the stories of them and me and blah, 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 blah. It was like an amazing show, and it was like all these women I love. And it was so serious. It was like
really
so college in like it was just like it was this deep. Is wrong. Yeah. Like, this is wrong. It was just like
hegemony.
It's all these you know blossoming ideas and ideals,
patriarchy,
and, like, anger too, which is like amazing. I needed to have that, and I think like
that's what college is for. Yeah. That's what early performance is for. People forget this is like when you see something by the time it's commercial, it's been refined. Mm. But at the beginning, when it's a little bit crazy town, I think it's when it's more fun,
and that's what it should be.
Yeah.
It should be crazy town.
It's passion.
Yeah, it should be experimental and all of that. But now they're teaching you, no, you've got to have it all refined and done.
No, that's no fun.
You're right out there.
Show us your website.
We had a guy who did a piece called Doppelganger Beaver Hat. It was this crazy piece. Everyone was, people, years later when we went to reunion, we're still talking about it. It was so out there. He involved so many different people. It was like a dance. It was, now what's that, movement? It was movement and spoken word. Yeah, yes. Choreo. And it was way out there. Way out there. One of the best things I'd ever seen in my life. Still, it was raw.
Well, because like art, I feel like you need to like be pushed to like, different limits that you think are there to like imagine beyond and like experience that too. And if we're like so excited, like so obsessed with being so neat and like not offend anybody, like, I mean, it's not like I'm saying we should like to do and say fucked up things all the time. Yeah. But, like,
sometimes though, I mean, it's theater. You're not actually doing it. You're portraying somebody doing it on stage.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like you have a certain license to be, you know, fun and interesting with it.
Totally.
Otherwise, you end up with, you know, Beauty and the Beast on Broadway is everything. And
how many Disney movies can they make?
All of them. I think they're only making Disney movies now to make the musical. Like, I don't think that there's... Have they left anything out?
Ooh.
Has Alice in Wonderland the musical? But I shouldn't say it.
I think so.
Oh, my God. That's probably coming next.
Yeah, because it's over 100 years old, right? Oh, so right. That means the copyright is free. That governs a lot of these Disney things is like it's 100 years old, you know. So the copyright is up.
So they have the marketing, all the I was gonna say figurines,
figurines,
the Disney figurines, all ready to go.
Very popular for 2017. We've aged ourselves.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio, and you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the Bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
So you did this piece, what was it called?
Oh, it was called Keep It Moving.
All right.
And so, like, I did it, and it was, like, I performed it for, like, a few years, and it was kind of, like, banging your head into a wall. You're like, yeah, this feels good, because I have to. It's the only way to get through this wall.
And I got this piece.
Yeah.
They say keep doing it for the one-person shows, a guy told me, because I'd done a one-person show. I'm like, I've done it, like, maybe 20 times. He was like, 20? Everybody hasn't seen it yet.
Whoa.
Like, you need to keep doing it until no one ever shows up again. I stopped doing it because that's not my thing. But you know what I mean? He was like, I've been doing this for 10 years. What are you...
Dang.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I do have a show. So after that, I wrote, like, another play that was more about, like, joy and, like, it's called Recess, and it's about kids and
like,
schools.
She went happy on us.
I was like, let me play Classroom of Kids and the teacher. But then it's, like, also the things that are going on in the kids' lives and how politics affects kids. It's like... there's some joy and hardness. so.
When you went to your dark place just now and said the darkness, it was the most joyful darkness I have ever seen.
That's what I said. Una's the most positive, cynical, positive person. Yeah. Cynical, positive person I've ever met.
Oh, that's such a compliment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you did your first show, Keep It Moving.
Yes, thank you.
Was it with an apostrophe at the end?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
of course.
Keep It Moving. Yes. And then you did this children's piece.
Yes, called Recess. And I still perform that show. So
awesome.
I've been doing that show for 10 years.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it's a good show,
you keep doing it. Yeah, because like I revisit the characters and I'm like, oh my God, I love you, I miss you.
And politics have changed so you can make it more current.
Yeah, and creepily, like, they're still the same.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it's really intense. Yeah. I'm like, in that show, there's, like, mention of, like, wars and, like, you know, different wars happening that the U.S. is involved in. And then, like...
You mean conflicts? We don't do wars anymore. We have conflicts.
Conflict.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 17 conflicts, no wars.
And they call it theater, which...
Yes.
Which...
Yes, which in the hurts theater my of war. Heart.
I get so mad when they use the term, like, in this theater, when they're talking about war.
I think
it's like,
theater.
No, that's not theater.
No, theater. Like, that's actual violence.
Yeah, that's actual violence. The only other theater I'll accept besides theater is, like, the operating theater when they're doing, like, surgery.
Yes, that's true.
Because I feel like, hey, kind of is like that. Yeah. But. Whatever. All right, so bring you up to. I'm trying to get to.
You're so sweet. Yeah. Okay. So I write that play, and then I write another play, Jap Jap, which
is Jap Jap.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like playing off my Jewish and Japanese-ness.
Okay.
And then.
I love the title. When I saw it, I was like, Jap Jap. I love it.
Some people get it, and some people are like.
What did she mean by jab?
I don't. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought you were almost like a jab, like, you know, like pointing at you.
No. Kind of.
Yeah.
But with a P.
Metaphorically. and then I wrote a play with my sister and my dad.
I know your dad was a performer as well. I've never seen him perform.
Oh my God, he's amazing. Oh my, he's
I have
so
to
funny.
See this.
Yeah, we play clowns. We're all clowns.
Oh, by the way, Una is also a clown.
Okay. Yeah.
And so is her sister. I mean, could you have
but
more
not,
training?
Not the it.
Clown. Not like the it.
No. Like the funny, like joyful, loving clowns. The American clowns give other clowns a bad rap.
They really do.
Like, people are scared of clowns, and they're, like, the most amazing
Well, beings. People are scared of America.
Well, clowning, like, for the listeners, it's a whole other technique. Mm-hmm. It's a whole other
we've talked about with the mask work and the clowns like, the importance that a clown can play. In our culture, though, none of that.
Because the clowns that we do are, like, they're humble, like, humble idiots. They're just, like, and, like, because they, like, humble themselves and, like, show you everything, we can, like, see our own humanity in that we're, like, usually too caught up in, like, you know, the politeness and the uptightness and, which is so caught up in what America is.
Yeah, right. We're not going to let it all out with clown. Our clown is scary.
Yeah.
I heard that they're trying to ban clowns around Halloween. I'm like, you cannot ban clowns.
Whoa, yeah.
Really? I hear the clown union is probably going to rise up on that one. But there is a clown union.
Wow.
Be careful.
Yeah.
When you're doing your clowning.
Oh, shit.
You're a non-union.
I don't know. Do we register the union?
Don't even put on one glove and wave it at people. You'll get in trouble.
Pro-union, but I just didn't know. I didn't know. So we have a clown show about natural and human-made disasters through the eyes of clowns. And, like, exploring that and what it was. Anyway, so we made a show together. Blah, blah, blah. Then I made another show. Exotic Other, which is my burlesque name. And so I, like, tell the stories behind. My pieces are, like, you know, not about usual sexy. They're, like, politics sexy and, like, what sexy means to me, which is, like, awkward and funny. And,
I
like,
think this is the real burlesque, though, because burlesque is comedy and politics less sexy for me.
Yeah.
Like, you're making some kind of social commentary.
Totally, which is its actual origins when you, like, look at where it came from. It started as, like, a literary art form and then expanded into performance and all that stuff. But a lot of people only associate burlesque with, like, the pinup.
Yeah, the
dolls
50s
and like
style.
These like kind of just like only one version of sexy. When like the brilliance of it to me is that it really is it's a site specific kind of art where it's like about you and your body and then what you're sharing and how you're playing with like social commentary and gender and sexuality and like all that. And you instead of just trying to be one thing,
I'm trying to be pull off a glove in a sexy way.
Anyways, so I made this play about my pieces and myself and basically what clown stuff, but then this, like getting more and more into like comedy and like how, where we find the funny and the joy and stuff. And then I still perform that show. Not 10 years yet, so I'm still performing.
Still working on it. You got a couple years left in it.
Yeah. And then my newest play is a one person show where I play a whole rugby team. I played rugby in college.
Are you kidding me?
And what? It's a queer sports rom-com.
Okay.
And it's all about rugby. And there's no
ladies rugby.
Is there anything you haven't done?
I know. I love this idea. It's a challenge, though, right?
Yeah.
I feel like you. Yeah. Every time I see her work, I'm like, I feel like you came up with an idea, and then you're like, how the hell am I gonna do this on stage? Like the Shamu thing when I heard about it. She's like, oh yeah, I simply dress up like an orca, and then I stripped out. I'm like, how? And then I have a picture of it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like the costume actually looks like an orca up there with heels on. Like the whole, like it's not a burlesque costume as in she's got pasties of flippers. It's actually like a whole big thing. It looks like Shamu was on stage.
Wow. All right.
Thanks. Reading a Vogue magazine.
Being destroyed by Vogue.
In a very sad way. And you actually watching the show in the audience, we were like, no. Like, we felt bad for this sexy orca who didn't realize her beauty. And we were angry at that Vogue whale magazine. Like, no! So, oh, cool. So, tell us about the show that you're doing now.
Yes.
So, the monthly show.
Yes. So, Brass Burlesque, we have a new monthly show that we're doing the third Thursday of the month. Except for this month, but then it's back to third Thursday.
We'll put a link up so you can be apprised of what's going on.
It's called Compost Bin, and it's a variety cabaret show that our main premise is we take the bullshit in the world and turn it into gold. Yeah. And so we do that through different, we have all these amazing guests. Chiquetta was one of them last month.
It was fun. It's a fun show, people. Get there early, I would say.
Yeah.
Because there were people, I thought people were going to try to sit on the stage.
Really? Like it was that packed.
Like, awesome. I was sitting down, and then I got up, and I came back, and there were, like, two people. And I said, I'm like, I was just on stage. Please get up. You know what I mean? Like, no, they were like, oh, sorry. I'm like, you're not sorry.
You were happy to get that seat.
Yeah. You were like, as soon as she goes on stage.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
It was
there
so
was a poet was there that did a really moving piece. Miss Aurora Bubrialis did a burlesque. I've never seen this before. It was a very moving burlesque to Strange Fruit.
Oh.
Yeah. It was really beautiful. Yeah. It was dance and burlesque. Yeah. And I mean, it was a beautiful piece. It was hard to watch, but everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to, burlesque isn't always just about, you know, funny and happy. There's always that political commentary piece to it.
Right.
And like what the person is like, that's kind of the beauty is like what each person brings to it. So she has like a dance background and also like what she's thinking about in the world and like sharing that.
And then she made just some really beautiful movements up there. Mm-hmm. There was also, what other kind of things? I don't even know how to describe some of them.
Yeah, there was like different burlesque drag pieces. There's singers. Like all different. My sister did a whole new piece. It was like super sexy.
Yeah, it was like a really erotic, like a BDSM piece.
Yeah, it was like our first time doing that. It was a new piece. So
it was
like,
good.
Yeah.
There was also a woman who did, I love this. She whipped off her wig, which I love. And then underneath, she had like a shawl that she pulled over, and it kind of gave her like a Madonna, like a religious thing. It was amazing.
Like a mantilla she had underneath?
Yes. And it was all, you didn't know. It was all tucked up in there, and it was like sparkly and like mesh. Mm-hmm. And I love whipping off a wig. I think that's amazing. But then she whipped it off to something that was so beautiful and elegant. It was shocking. Yeah.
Totally.
It was really good. And she sang and did a little burlesquing.
Yeah.
Well, she's up there. She claimed that was her first time, but I was like, lady, come
you
on.
Did.
When that mantilla came down, I was like, okay, first time, huh? First time.
And then we have a DJ, so like after the show. So this like this whole cathartic experience because there's so much going on in the world every single moment of the day. And then it's amazing to create a space where people can come and be with each other.
It was a very diverse audience. Mm. Like, I mean, diverse in every sense of the word. It was nice.
Yeah. And we like
so get... What,
yeah, it's rare.
Yeah.
I'm talking all ages, all, like, backgrounds, like, social, economic, everything. Really diverse group of people, really enjoying what was going on. People were talking to each other after, you know what I mean? Like, people who didn't know each other were having interactions. It was a really positive, like, venue. I was excited about it.
That's exciting to hear. I can't wait to come and see this.
Yeah. Yeah, and the dance party erupted
at the end. Had a dance party for, like, hours afterward. It's just, like...
I had to go home.
It was so great. And we have it at Star Bar. It's just like a bar in Brooklyn. It's a beautiful like bar, social justice bar, which is a great mix of things. And so it's just like so nice to be with each other, not on the internet. Like,
yes.
Just like real life. We're like, oh my God, the world. Oh my God, I'm so happy to laugh with you. Like just to experience emotions together and be able to talk in real life. It feels very important in this
moment. Felt like the old Bowery Poetry Club, which is now an upscale, like, supper club. But it had that vibe.
Yeah.
And it had a really nice stage.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fun.
For listeners who haven't been to the Bowery Poetry Club.
And who will now never go, because it's gone.
Yeah, it's just a very, it's underground, it's experimental.
It's cheap.
All
comers.
Not at all commercial.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. exciting. You don't know what's going to happen.
And it's a bar.
Yeah.
Mm. As well. So mm-hmm. it's like...
It's not once, packaged or sanitized.
Yeah, once the show's yeah, over, yeah. you can still, you can hang out, mm-hmm. talk to performers
yeah.
in a very organic way, you mm-hmm. know, talk to people in the audience. And I don't know, I thought it was really good. So it, this is Compost Bin, and mm-hmm. it's every...
Third Thursday.
Sort of. yeah. But we'll put up a link to that
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. and we're and so excited to be pulling some of the amazing performers that are in New York and giving them more opportunities to perform.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a cool venue. So I want to do a little segment.
Yes.
You don't mind.
Yeah. Please, yeah. please, thanks for going through my whole bio with me.
No, that's what we do. We want to hear about you. People hear us every week for the past 7 years, and they probably want to hear something a little bit different.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So I have a little thing I brought this, and I was not trying to reach into your Japanese heritage with this, but when we do technology, it comes up.
Yes.
So, Kate, this is our. Oh, we're going to do a little bit of robot news. Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robopocalypse.
Yes,
probably already happened.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hello to our robot overlords.
We salute you.
Yeah.
So this is a robot news. It's called Next Technology. So it says the Japanese take body odor very seriously. Mm. So much. You're like, yes, they do. So much so, in fact, that companies in Japan have seminars on smell harassment. So how not to harass people or harass them. However you want to say it, with your body odor.
Whoa. Really? So it's considered a thing that you're doing on purpose.
And you're offending people. You're coming at them with
Whoa.
Your fromunda.
Wow.
With your stench.
Whoa.
With your pits. It says, impeccable hygiene also extends to the home where people are expected to take off their shoes upon entering. I have this rule in my house. I've never had anybody offend with a foot.
Yeah.
I always let people know, mm-hmm. like if I'm having an event, you know me.
Yeah, yeah.
I let people know way ahead of events. Oh. Gentlemen, ladies, pedicures, if you're concerned about that kind of thing, wear a beautiful sock.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, if you do, if you are the kind of person who doesn't want to take off their shoes for some reason, I will have something for you
oh,
to
wow.
slip onto your feet. Mm. I don't want shoes in my house.
Mm.
But it's not because of smell. It's because of dirt.
Yeah, you don't want to
right,
track
yeah.
in all of New York City
yeah.
Yeah.
Into your house.
Yeah. yeah.
So it says, naturally, this tech-savvy nation has come up with a number of modern applications for funky-smelling folk. There's an app that will tell you if your armpits kick.
Wow.
So I guess, I don't know how it works, but I guess you wave your phone around that area, and it tells you if you're funky or not.
No way.
Really?
That's actually
does
not
it,
bad.
How
That's
does
not
it,
a bad
does
idea.
It have to do with heat or like what?
I have no, I probably chemicals. The chemicals it can
How does the phone do
how
that?
Does the, yeah, how does the phone
I have
do
no it? Idea. Japan doesn't want to say. It's just on. There's another robot.
I bet you it's just always going to say you stink.
You stink.
So you have
stink.
To stink
yes.
Axe
time.
Body spray.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Axe Body Spray.
Exactly.
There's a female robot that you can breathe on, and it will tell you if you have halitosis or not. So you can be like, and be
oh,
like.
I got to know how they do this.
Why is there a female robot?
And, I don't know. I guess they don't want to breathe on a man. I don't know. They don't want to be upset. And here, this is what the article is actually about. It's a little puppy. It's a cute robotic puppy. It's like about a foot long, 6 inches tall, really small. And it's called a sniffer dog. It will smell your feet.
Wow.
So if you're not sure if your feet stanky or not, you can kick off your shoes.
Because you're with them all the time.
Yes.
So you're like.
It'll come up to you. It'll sniff your feet. And if there's, if they smell, it will roll over and temporarily faint. Is this how Japanese people
that
want to handle
so
it?
Funny.
Like, is that polite?
That is like, really funny.
It's
though.
Bizarre. Sorry, it's, yeah. I'm sorry. It's not a foot long. 15 centimeters long.
Oh,
it's a lot smaller. That's kind of creepy.
That's tiny.
That's too small now.
Yeah,
that just
and
got
you know,
weird.
When you're not paying attention and something comes crawling over, you want to kick it.
I kick it.
Yeah.
Or step on it.
So I don't know if it passed out because I kicked it or if it passed out because my feet are kicking. The rest of the time, it just like looks cute.
Mm.
So if your feet do reek, then it will just do a puff of air and it'll blow like air freshener onto them. So it has a solution. First, it'll pass out and be like, just kidding, girl. Then it'll come back up.
Like, let's do action.
Yes. Then it will puff onto you some kind of fresh scent.
Wow.
It's the robot, the brainchild of something called Japan's Next Technology. The commercial arm of the National Institute of Technology Kitakyushu College. University was also behind the Bad Breath robot. It's been working on prototypes for years of this puppy. Surely the greatest minds in Japan could come up with something else, like more interesting.
No.
They're ready for, the next technology is going to release a robot known as Hana-chan, which Hana means nose, and it's a common girl's nickname, for $900. But it's going to basically, you know, sniff at you and let you know if you're funky.
Oh, well.
Is this a really big problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, are Japanese feet just kicking? Or, like,
no,
are they just overly sensitive?
Like, so into hygiene.
Yeah.
So they're, like, constantly.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
We're being told all the time. You've got to, you know, you got to bleach everything. You got to pluck and wax and shave and exfoliate and deodorize every part
everything
of your body.
All the time. I feel like in Japan, though, like, aren't they known for, you know, really paying attention to scent?
Yeah.
So I feel
so,
like...
So, yeah, well, this is
how?
More so.
Like, yeah. They can't tell if their foot is stinky?
Yeah, this does seem a little redundant.
Yeah. Like,
they're
like one of the cleanest
of
cultures on Earth.
Yeah.
And one of the most scent-phobic.
Well, they're supplying product to an audience that's willing to.
Yeah,
that's
already like OCD.
And I guess maybe if you live alone, which I think a lot of people in Japan are living alone, maybe they don't have someone to smell that foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the main role of your partner.
I feel like there's a business opportunity here to send someone over to your house, send a sexy woman over to your house or sexy man to smell your feet.
Mm. That's a good service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be like, no, I'm going to roll over.
And then I'm going to go. With fresh mint on you.
Yes.
All right. So I have that. I also have a piece of penis news. I'd like to get your opinion on this. So this is from Men's Health. So this is a woman who's done a startup. So many guys have been sending her pictures of penises. She just decided to do a penis critique service.
Oh, so like dick pics?
Yeah, well, they send dick pics. Yeah, just leave it there. It was in the article, a pair of women offer penis assessments for money to give their insight into a specialized, unique line of work. One of these women is called Evie Bellini, a.k.a. the Banana Butcher. The Banana Butcher. She should at least put, like, of Manchester or, like, you know, of something at the end.
Why is it a butch? Why is it so negative?
That's what she's saying. Because she got tired of people sending her pictures of dicks.
Yeah.
So she was like, screw it.
You're
she came up with
to
this.
Me.
Yeah. She offers a 3-paragraph long dick appraisal for $20.
Wow.
For an extra 10, she'll provide a custom-made nude video reaction to your dick pic. That kind of thing.
No way.
Yes. So she's getting $30 for making a quick nude video and then $20 for 3 paragraphs? I feel like I'm being had as a writer. She evaluates length, girth, grooming, veins, and balls.
Wow.
All 5. So you get quality service. And then of course, another woman has popped up. Is like, I'll do it. I'll do it for cheaper.
Yeah, I'll do it for $19.
Yeah. So yeah, it's penis judging trade. Apparently there's a woman out there called Schoolgirl Sub Slut. That's her nickname. And she will also give you an assessment of your penis. I don't know if she does all 5, length, girth, grooming, veins, and balls. But it's all there. And she said most guys are looking for an honest opinion on their penis. Not generally something they can get a chance to hear in everyday life.
Yeah, guys are more...
That's exactly why they're sending dick pics, right?
Yeah,
for an honest assessment. Because...
Wait, I feel like there's, like, a connection with the robot one before, too. Like, they're going to have a robot that's going to, like, do assessments next.
How your dick works? Maybe sniff it, see if it's funky.
Oh, my gosh. We have to invent the robot that you can put your penis in and assess it, and then it spits out a report.
Ooh,
to your iPhone.
That's not a bad
copyright
idea. We're lawyered up, people. Don't even think
and
about
Una.
It. Yeah.
All 3 of us.
Una and Hey, You Know It.
This is our machine.
Productions. We're
going to
do it. It will sniff, assess, spray, and then put out a report.
And roll over.
Yeah. It'll send you a dick pic at yourself and be like, what do you think? You know, with the 5 categories of length, girth, grooming, veins, balls, and I'll put cupability in here. Let's add something else to it.
A cupability.
Can the balls be cupped properly? The machine will do this.
Wow. Yeah.
For $100.
Yeah.
Fun at parties. You know, weddings, bat mitzvahs, baptisms, funerals, divorce parties, everything. How bizarre. I love, though, that these women are finally, you know what? Screw it. You're going to send me a picture? I'm going to use it. I'm going to make some money out of it. All right, what have you got? Do you want to do some advice?
Yes.
So Advice on Advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. And we ask our guests to weigh in on the advice. Okay, so feel free to jump in at any point, because we will.
So it's basically the question comes in, and we start talking about it even before we get the answer.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes we...
Greg told me that one time we didn't give the answer.
Oh, really?
And the show just cut off, and he was like, son of a bitch! What was the, I'm like, you can write in and ask us, and we'll let you know. Okay.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I didn't either.
See? I'm glad he's so, like, so diligently listening.
Well, he's listening for mistakes. He's giving notes on the work. All right.
Okay, so this is Dear Abby.
I'm classic.
Yes. I'm a happily...
She's still around?
No, it's like Abby 2 or 3.
It's
could be you. It could be me.
Oh,
there's always a new Abby growing somewhere.
Yeah.
I had it.
Sorry, people.
I'm a happily married woman in my 30s.
Yeah, right.
Although we don't have children yet, many of our friends do. Some of them have boys who are approaching or already in their early teens.
Wait a minute. Wait. Where's this going?
Yeah.
This is
sketchy. I'm embarrassed to even ask. But what are the best ways to avoid or immediately stop unwanted, just reaching puberty attention from young boys?
Burka? I don't know. Not even that.
What does this have to do with, like, their friends? Them?
I think this is a sexy woman.
Yeah.
And who in her 30s, and some of their friends have teen boys who are starting to become aware of her sexiness.
That's the only time she's met teenagers? Like, she's walked down the street?
I don't know.
Right. I think this is kind of like, can you believe young boys think that I'm still hot and I'm in my 30s?
Guess what, lady? Everyone's looking at everybody.
You're not special.
Yeah, girls too are looking at you.
I am modest in my attire. I don't interact more than I need to.
That's
with
even
them.
Sexier. Are you kidding me? You wear like a turtleneck?
Yeah. Mormon?
You're like,
But like, you work with teens. Yes. I work with teens. You work with teens. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. They're just like,
you're a body.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what
you're
wearing.
Like, it's a lady.
You know? I would, I don't interact with them more than I need to, and I would never want to harm a child.
Whoa, you're like really showing your cards too much.
I know,
like,
right?
What's going on?
She's like, I have a problem.
But the looks and actions I get from some of them have my stomach churning. I need to know how to appropriately shut it down. My husband just chuckles and shrugs his shoulders, saying, they just want to talk to girls. I feel sick. Please help.
What?
What? There's a lot.
There's a lot going on. First of all, like, they're young boys. They're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
They're just looking at you. And they're
sounds more about her own experience.
Yeah. They're exploring their sexuality. They're not doing anything untoward. You can't stop them from looking.
Talking to her. She's like, I shut it down before we get past hello.
And but that's probably making them want it. Yeah. That's making them want it even more. Like, hey, man, get a load of Mrs. G.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What is going on?
What's with the floor-length turtleneck?
Why does she not even look at us?
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with us?
They're probably just, like, concerned of her. Mm-hmm. And they're like, are you okay? And she's like, don't look at me.
They're teen boys, and they're like, do I smell? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't
like,
have
robot. Yeah, why won't they talk to me? They don't have their robot.
They're confused.
Yeah. I need someone to sniff my feet.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
So, weird. All right, what does Abby say?
Well, dear unwanted attention. Unless
nothing
dear
happened.
Unwanted reader. Like, I don't even want to give you advice on this.
Unless you have left something out of your letter, what the boys are doing is normal adolescent boy behavior.
Mm-hmm.
However, because you feel some of them have crossed the line, you should tell their parents.
Is the line? I saw your son eyeballing my double D's.
What are you gonna do?
Like, how are you?
It sounds like she's sexualizing them even more than they maybe are, like, sexualizing her.
I think she's not getting any at home.
She's not, and she's in her 30s, and so she's out of that age of the 20s where she's getting hit on. She's married, and you know, she's looking at her future, and she's like, I'm getting older, and if boys are looking at her, so she's like, they're looking at me. She's just kind of like. I think she's too turned on by that.
Yeah.
And is like, I'm uncomfortable, but I have to throw it back on them as
But
it's like her being aroused by
there is
their
attention.
Feeling like a sexual being again.
There's a long history of that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, these are talk to teen boys or talk to any man who's gone through this phase. And like, yes, you're looking at a woman in her
30s.
You have a better chance of talking to a woman in her 30s. Than a girl your own age, probably, who's going to maybe embarrass you, or you're too embarrassed already. You know what I mean? It's safe.
Yeah.
Like, if a 13 or 14-year-old boy is talking to me, yeah, whatever. Do you know what I mean?
He's like, he doesn't have to work. A girl. It's like practice.
Yeah.
It's like talking.
He doesn't have to worry about anything. Yeah. I'm not going to embarrass him and be like, hey,
yeah,
what's
like,
going on there?
I talk to my mom's friends. It's like, it's like some of her friends' kids. Like,
yes, right? Like, what do you do?
They see you as, like, one of their parents' friends. So it's like,
yeah,
you're not cool.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, that turtleneck, that more.
No, they might be like, this woman's acting weird. I just went over to see her, say hello, and she ran off, came back with a turtleneck on. You know what I mean? Like, get over it.
It's true.
Or just enjoy the attention. Who cares?
Yeah. To like,
nothing's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, maybe she needs to go to some more, like, burlesque shows or something.
Yeah, maybe she needs to find her sexuality.
Her stomach is churning. Mm. Her stomach is churning when a teenage boy talks to her.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Whenever I have to talk to, because there are some of my friends' kids are getting to that age now, and I notice, and I've noticed before, they get kind of weird when they're, like, 13 or 14, but they're weird around all females.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They'd be weird around a dude in drag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they just like see
femininity.
Yeah. They don't know what to do. And they're also wondering, like, okay, does my relationship with me, with, you know, this adult woman have to change now? Like, this is someone who saw me when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And has known me. You have saw me running around acting like a fool. Now, what happens? I'm seeing in the movies and TV.
Yeah.
That, like, this is, you know, things change and things happen.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, she should talk to teachers. I taught middle school. Teachers have to deal with that all the time. Mm-hmm. You just deal with it.
Yeah. It's not like this, like, I mean, I feel like she's, like, treating it like there's, like, something bad going on.
No, there's nothing bad
going on.
It's just,
like, growing up. Like, she sounds like she's around too many 30-year-olds
mm-hmm.
and, like, not interacting with other ages of humans.
With older people and younger people.
Yeah. She has to recognize she's the adult in this equation, and she has to act like one. And she has to go, that's a teenager.
But she should not traumatize these boys.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like they, you know, I mean, she's...
But what are their parents going to do? Just stop looking at...
Bitch, ain't nobody looking
Miss
at you.
Bitch,
your double A's. Like, no one's looking at you.
I imagine her being very flat-chested, too.
I do, too. And then maybe the guys are just trying to see, is anything going on?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Has anyone seen her tits? No. Keep looking. So, we want to thank you for coming in.
Yes. Thanks so much
Please
for having
tell us
me.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Okay. My website.
Okay. Number one.
It's unaosato.com. Okay. And then on Facebook, unaayaosato.
Okay.
And then in real life. That all leads to real life performances. Keep you up to date of things, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
So fun.
You were a real spirit lifter, I tell you.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.